And now for today, I'm doing something very Sean-like. All right? Yeah, Sean-like. I'm going to actually start with a song today. But first, we are continuing our sermon series in the book of Philippians, Joy from Jesus to You. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. If you want to turn there, we're going to be eventually starting at verse 12. But I have a song for you now. It's been about 20 years now. When I was working at Faith FM, we wanted to do a Christian vocal talent search. And we were trying to come up with a name for it. American Idol was really big at that time. And the thought was, well, you can't really have the Christian Idol. So we were trying to figure out a name for the talent search. And I suggested, how about we call it the Shining Star? And they said, huh? And I said, you know, like it says in Philippians chapter 2. And they said, huh? So this song, I wanted to do it today because it really captures so much of what we've already looked at in Philippians chapter 2 and what we're going to look at today. About 30 years ago, Mary and I had an opportunity. There was a fellow by the name of Buddy Green, and if you watch the Gaither Homecoming videos, he plays the harmonica on those. He's about to get some extra big royalty checks this time of year because he wrote the music for Mary, Did You Know? And yeah, he and his friend Mark Lowry, they never have to work again. But anyway, Buddy came up here to do some concerts, and he came along with a friend of his named Kenny Meeks. And Kenny wrote this song based on Philippians chapter 2, and I just thought it captured it so well. So let me be a little Sean-like here as we start with this song. It's called Shining as Stars. If there's any comfort from His love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, encouragement from our union with the Son, if there's any tenderness and compassion, let us have the same love, so that in our spirit and our purpose we may be one. Shining as stars in this universe of ours, holding out the word of life that lives within our hearts. Shining as stars in a crooked generation, blameless and pure, standing sure. Shining as stars in this universe of ours. May we be done with selfish ambition, finding humility in our love, regarding our brother better than ourselves. Tending to all we must see to, but not only for our own. As we look to care for others as well. Shining as stars in this universe of ours, holding out the word of life that lives within our hearts. Shining as stars in a crooked generation, blameless and pure, standing sure. Shining as stars in this universe of ours. And our attitude attitude should be the same as that of Christ, for though he was divine, put himself aside, and he became our servant. He was humble and obedient, obedient even unto death upon the cross. If there's any comfort from his love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, encouragement from our union with the Son, if there's any tenderness and compassion, then let us have the same love, so that in our spirit and our purpose we may be one. Shining as stars in this universe of ours, holding out the word of life that lives within our hearts. Shining as stars in a crooked generation, blameless and pure, standing sure. Shining as stars in this universe of ours. All right. Oh, amen, eh? Shining as stars. It's God's will for us. And we're going to see it when we get back to Philippians chapter 2, which we'll be starting in a moment. And we're actually starting at verse 12 with our third use of the word therefore. Three times, first in chapter 2 and verse 1, then in verse 9, and now in verse 12, Paul will use that word therefore. Thinking of the confidence that we have, right? As it says back in chapter 1 and verse 6, I think I put that up there, didn't I, Michael? Philippians, yeah, there it is. Being confident of this, right? He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And in our ongoing development of what we were looking at as this thing called the mindset of Christ, as Paul began to tell us, we looked at it a couple Sundays back, starting in verse 5 of chapter 2. Christ, though he was in very nature God, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death upon a cross. And when we humble ourselves before God, we have the promise that he will lift us up in due time. We looked at that. That was 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. I think I stuck that in there. Yeah, there we are. It's a principle throughout the entire Bible. Humble ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So, here now in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, we read once again, Therefore, my dear friends, have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to fill and to act, or to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I'll explain all of that in a moment, and I'll explain why I sort of laughed at that. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, or snickering either. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Now, when Kenny wrote that song, he was using the former version of the New International Version. And so there's, you know, differences in translation. So in that case, it was, you'll shine among them like stars in the universe. And then verse 16 begins with some words that are kind of hard to translate. But it's as you hold firmly to the word of life. And some Bible translations will say, as you hold out the word of life. And I want to be here to tell you they're both right, right? We first of all hold on to what we find in these words. And then we hold it out to other people. Hey, listen, you want to come along? You want to find the hope we've found? So we hold firmly to the word of life. And then, says Paul, I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, you think of, you know, an offering made, say, on an altar of perhaps a libation, I think is what they called it, and they poured it out to the Lord, right? And he felt like, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Man, some days you feel that way, don't you? On the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. All right, a bit of an inside joke here. Jackie sent me a very humorous text. I think you were joking, weren't you? Well, we're about to find out. Mostly. Okay, she said, all right, she said, hey, when you go through Philippians chapter 2, can you just kind of skip over verse 14, right? The one about grumbling or not grumbling or complaining. I promised I would read it very fast. Nobody would even notice it. All right. But I was thinking to myself, right, we're talking about a book that's filled with joy and rejoicing in Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can have a bit of fun here with verse 14, I think. Yeah, of course we can. And but don't think that I nor Jackie were being blasphemous. No, this is all the word of God, of course. But you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, can you just pardon that or go through that part about the grumbling and complaining? We do need to vent sometimes, don't we? Right? We're human beings. I want to give you a little general principle, though. Vent to God more often than you vent to other people. And I just want to say that it's kind of like a general principle in our lives. You know, before you share something in anger, either personally, maybe to somebody in your household, or on a Facebook post, oh, just wait till I tell these people. Do your ranting to God first. And then see if what you had to say really needs to be said to that other person. Or maybe, you know, I can just keep that between me and the Lord, and I'll pray for whatever this situation is that's causing me grief. Because all of it goes with having this mindset of Christ, taking the very nature of one who serves, taking our cues, our marching orders, as people sometimes say, taking them from our Lord and Savior, following his example. Now, why is it important to not be a grumbler? I didn't know I was going to spend so much time on verse 14. I promise I'll get off this in a moment. But why is it important not to be a grumbler or to argue, either with people or with God? We all have our days, trust me, I know. But as it goes on to say, it's so that we can become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, as we live in a warped and crooked generation. Now, of course, not everything is terrible about our society. All right, I better just keep that to myself and God. Well, you know what I mean. Not everything is dreadful out there. But so much is twisted, warped, in fact. And yes, there are people who try to make a career out of being crooked. Now, when God says something, and of course, we want to make sure, am I really hearing from the Lord? I've never heard an audible voice, by the way, but you know, when God impresses on our mind or our spirit something, well, first of all, really understand that we are allowed to ask. We're allowed to ask. It's all through the Bible. All the people who were used by the Lord felt free to ask a question or two or three or four. I'd been in work situations. I've been in church situations, you know, where asking honest questions were really frowned upon. Oh, yeah, no, not encouraged at all. I remember some guy telling me, well, no, the best questions are the ones you already have the answer to. And I thought, well, why would I ask then if I already had the answer? Like, of course we're allowed to ask. Do you know, I worked even for a Christian organization one time. And if you asked a question, say in a meeting, the boss would just say, hey, that's not your business to know. You just be thankful you have a job. Now, there's a way to win friends and influence people, eh? No. Just thinking of a couple of examples. There's all kinds of them, right? But I was thinking of Abram. God later changed his name to Abraham. But, you know, Abram, he asked a question. It's kind of like, you know, Lord, I am an old man. And my wife, you know, she's getting up there too, but I'm not going to remind her of that. But you said I'd be the father of many nations, but I don't have any kids. Shouldn't a servant in my household be my heir? Moses asked the Lord, well, wait a minute, you want me to tell Pharaoh, let my people go? What if the people, what if they don't listen to me? pardon me, Lord, I have never been very eloquent. You know, I'm not a good talker. Shouldn't you be sending someone else? As we get close to Christmas time, we think of the Virgin Mary. She asked, how can this be? I've never been intimate with any man. All the things we could learn from Mary's attitude, eh? That we would all say, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Let it be as you have said. And I think about this one a lot. When I'm sitting at my messy desk at home, I look up and I see there on the wall, it's a print. It's not original, but it's a painting somebody gave me one time. It's a painting of Jesus. And the depiction is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, leaning on a rock and looking up to heaven in prayer. And it includes a verse, Matthew 26. But Jesus, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know this story. On that night he asked, is there any other way? Right? If it's possible, let this cup pass by me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And as we live this way, oh, and by the way, don't beat yourself up when you fail. Get back up. Oh, actually, you know what? I thought of it when I wrote that, right? Get back up. Well, in one sense, yes, get back up, but also lower yourself a little more even. Lower yourself a little more, but not to grovel before God. So often, oh, I'm such a rotten person, there's nothing good about me. No, don't grovel before the Lord. Remember, if we humble ourselves, he's gonna lift us up. But as we humble ourselves, and as we obey, try to obey whatever he tells us, then we will shine among others like stars in the sky. Because not everybody lives this way. And we have enough trouble on our own, don't we? I mean, you've always experienced this, right? If you ever had employment somewhere. Now, I mentioned that one supervisor I had. But haven't we all had that boss, that manager, right? And how the whole atmosphere in the workplace changed when he or she wasn't there. You've been around people like that, right? Some people light up a room when they enter it. Now, some people light up a room after they've left it, right? Oh, man. Whew. Oh, yeah, don't be one of those people who lights up a room after you're gone. No, when we're out from under that critical thumb, people can feel like, I can breathe again. I can breathe again. So Paul says, not only in my presence, right? Like, hey, got to behave ourselves. Paul's here. Look busy. No, not just when I'm around, says Paul. But now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is the point in any message on these verses in Philippians chapter 2. Every preacher will stress this that I'm about to say to you right now. Of course, we don't work for our salvation. It's a gift received by Jesus. And if you haven't already, open yourself to him. Acknowledge and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's nothing you can earn. That's why Paul goes on to say in verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who's doing the work in you. I'm going to mention Oswald Chambers again coming up, but you know, he used to say, you work out what God has worked in. God started the work. Jesus will carry it on to completion. As for us, well, we just need to stay in relationship with him, abiding, remaining in Jesus as our life-giving vine. Why does he even have us here? I've heard people ask this question. Well, why doesn't he just take us to heaven when we become Christians? Why does he leave us here? It would sure save us a lot of heartache, wouldn't it, if he just took us to heaven straight away? Well, it goes back again to what we started this whole sermon series with, right? Remember that wonderful way to spell joy from that kid's song? J-O-Y, Jesus first, then others, then you. Our lives are lived as Paul's was. Our lives are lived poured out. Poured out like a drink offering of sacrifice and service. I know, that doesn't sound very joyful at all. But it's all for Christ's glory and honor. And as they say, the rewards are simply out of this world. In our case, that's literally, isn't it? All right, Oswald Chambers. Yeah, I quote him a lot. You know that. He taught the scriptures near the beginning of the 20th century. He led a Bible training course, and then he ministered to soldiers in the First World War. And his wife put together that devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. She was a court stenographer, you know, that is able to use those little machines that only have like four buttons, but somehow they can type. Anyway, so when Mr. Chambers died at a very young age from appendicitis, here was his wife and their little daughter. I gotta feed myself. And so she compiled all these things, all these talks that he gave, either to the soldiers or at the Bible training college. And it became the best-selling devotional book of certainly the 20th century. And as I went through these verses at home this week here in Philippians 2, something I thought of that Mr. Chambers often said, and it fits so well with this, he often said that we are to be what he called broken bread and poured out wine. He used it to describe the Christian life, a life of selfless service and sacrifice for the benefit of others, yielding ourselves to God's will, even through difficult and often personal crushing experiences, so that our life can nourish and bless somebody else. Now, of course, our Savior, Jesus, was the ultimate broken bread and poured out wine, right, through his sacrifice on the cross. But followers of his are now called to follow that example in this world. I've mentioned this before, you cannot drink a grape, right? A grape has to be crushed. I mean, you can chew on a stalk of wheat, I suppose, if you like, but when it's ground and mixed into flour and made into dough, that's when it's useful in the hands of a skilled baker. Of course, it goes into an oven, gets heated up and baked. But what comes out is something that will nourish those who eat that delicious bread. Chambers said this. He said, we have to be rightly related to God before we can be broken in his hands. Keep right with him and let him do with you as he likes. And you will find that he is producing the kind of bread and wine that will benefit his other children. All right, well, okay, we think a lot about newborn babies now here at Generations. Thank you, Jen and Jeremy, for giving us this illustration. Right, we think about babies, right? And, well, okay, when you have contact, say, with a brand new believer in Christ, you know they're going to first nourish themselves on you until they learn as well to feed themselves, right, on this word of life. And then one day they too are going to be nourishment for somebody else walking on this Christian path. And it all takes a lot of time. So be patient with yourself and be patient with other people. God will fulfill his good purpose in your life. Paul says, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and as you keep holding that out, right, that hope you have as you share it with others, then he says, I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Now at this point, and I want to tell you a quick story here as I finish, this little story came to my mind. All right, some of you know, I do a radio program called Joyful Country. I know, you listen every Sunday, you never miss it. I won't ask. Do you know that started as a summer replacement program back in 1981? People born in 1981 are now like wearing orthopedic shoes. Like, what do you know what I'm saying? That's a long time ago. Well, maybe they're not, but they will be. But I remember one time, back when I was doing the show live on Sundays, I got a phone call from a guy. He said, I don't have to go to church anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, I just listen to you now. And I thought, well, okay, he probably meant it as a compliment, I think. And you've only got like 3 minutes before the next song is on. So I tried to let him know, hey, I don't want to be anybody's excuse for not attending church. I don't want to be a replacement for attending church, an excuse to stay away. And you know, I began to get very troubled about that. I kept asking the Lord, should I even be doing this show? How many people are out there like that? Now, for instance, okay, some of us, and you know, since COVID-19 began, we now can broadcast on Zoom out there, right? And I remember a friend of mine, some of you have met Gord Martin, at least from the leadership here, and he said at the time, it was 2020, 2021, he said, you know, the only problem with Zoom is that people are going to begin to think to themselves, why do I even need church? I can just watch it here. Now, oh, by the way, you folks on Zoom, I know some of you have great reasons for being right where you are. I understand. That's why we keep doing it, by the way. But you know, that's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Do I really need this place? You know, I'm really glad. And Sean, it was the Lord speaking through you today, right? Because you talked about getting together, even when we're in our low points in life, you know, coming together and being encouraged by other people, or when we're up on top of things, we can encourage them. And There's so much good when you're involved in a community of other believers. But some people, and I've even heard from people now, they haven't gone back to church in the last 5 years. Just got out of habit of it and just drink everything in and give nothing back. Again, not you people out there on Zoom right now. I know you've got good reasons. I knew I shouldn't have gotten into that, but you understand. So I got to the place where I was really thinking about retiring the show altogether. But I will never forget the night, and I think Nelma was there. Oh, yes. I believe it was one of the gospel concerts that Nelma and I did for John and Judy Schultz. Nelma's mentioned her friend Judy Schultz and some of the, and John and Judy in their prison ministry. And just down on Nafziger Road, that church down there, I used to go as the MC, and then we'd do a couple hymns during the night, and Nelma would play piano for me. It's where I first got to meet Nelma. I won't say how many years ago, but it was a few. And at the end of one of those concerts one night, a woman came up and introduced herself to me. She told me that her husband had recently passed away. Of course, I offered my condolences, and she said, thank you, but she said, I need to tell you something. She said, my husband wanted nothing to do with anything about God. I learned from her that her husband had been somewhat of an angry man, not easy to live with. His wife and kids did a lot of tiptoeing around him, right? But even though he hated anything to do with Christianity, hated religion, he did love country music. And so every Sunday morning, she said to me, every Sunday he would tell me and the kids to be quiet so he could listen to your show. Well, you know, we did bluegrass and everything, all the kind of stuff Mark likes. Yeah. Yeah. Now, when he was diagnosed with cancer and told that he did not have long to live, he said something to his wife she never thought he ever would. He asked her to invite the pastor of the nearby Baptist church in Kitchener to come and visit him. That man was a friend of mine, Jim Reese, from Benton Street Baptist Church. He's home with the Lord now. But Pastor Reese was able to lead that man to Christ. And this woman told me, she said, something completely changed in my husband. He was a different man with me and the kids. We had peace in our home. He had peace in his heart. And the last 6 months of his life were the best their family had ever had together. I know he is in heaven today, she said. And I needed to let you know and thank you for doing that radio show. And I think she might have even said, keep doing that radio show. And I don't remember that woman, couldn't tell you her name. And she didn't know it, though. But that was my answer from God to keep going. And ever since that night, I've thought of this picture that I've got in my mind. Now, I have a kind of an active imagination, I should tell you that. But anyway, so not this may not be completely biblical. But I do believe every single one of us, all right? If you are a follower of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, if you are holding on and holding out the word of life, if you are shining like a star, and you are, by the way, and if you don't feel like it, trust me, you are. Imperfect as we do any of all of that, okay? But I believe that every single one of us, if we stay that course, okay? So if you're a little off the track right now, get back on that track. We're going to stand before Jesus someday. And we're going to bring to him whatever meager works we were able to do for him, okay? It's not going to be much, or maybe I'm just speaking about me. It's not going to be much, but we're going to say, Lord, I did this for you, right? And we will lay everything down at his feet, of course. But I just have this picture of him saying, oh, well done, thank you. And let me show you what I've done with this, right? We're going to catch a glimpse. I don't know. In my head, I see him drawing back a curtain. I don't know if I can't find a chapter and verse. But I believe that when that curtain gets drawn back, every one of us, we are all going to see hundreds of people, hundreds of other souls, people even from different generations, people we never knew, people we will meet on that day who will tell us, oh, I don't know, something like, hey, that little Sunday school you taught at, you remember you were wondering if any of those kids got anything out of all the work you put into that? Well, my grandma went to that when she was a kid. Grandma shared Jesus with me. I'm here in a big part because of you. Because of you. Remember that song? Thank you for giving to the Lord. That's what they'll say to you and to me. Thank you for giving to the Lord in your life. People you'll probably never meet in this life. People you have no idea now who are being blessed by your life. Blessed in a way that will give all the glory to God, of course, all right? But none of us knows right now. Nobody knows everything that He is accomplishing through our lives of service, the service coming from our faith. As we sang, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Keep sharing Christ as your living hope. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we get to heaven, isn't it? Let me insist on this. All right, because I don't know. I know what kind of a week I had, and it wasn't all good. I don't know what kind of week you've had. But let me insist on this. You too, as Paul says it right here at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 18. I think we've got that verse there, Michael. Did I put that up? Right? Join with me in what he says here. Right? You too should be glad and rejoice with me. Sally Bragg said it last Sunday. Of course, there are plenty of times for lament. Some of us are in the midst right now of lamenting over various things in our lives. I'll never try to minimize any of that. But as she said, do not park there. Don't park in that time of lament. No. Lift up your heads. Rejoice and be glad. The Lord is our God. Amen. Amen.